changing the rules on the Canada Summer Jobs Program.
It's not so much that you have a right to the money, but you have a right not to be discriminated against in sort of the application process. When you have an application process that singles out one particular belief and says, we don't want that, that's not an equal treatment under the law.
We spend a fair bit of time on the program this week on a new government demand that all applicants for funding under that student employment program sign on to an attestation affirming their support for, among other things, so-called reproductive rights. Also on the show this week, a new survey from CARTIS, which shows a surprising level of support for government funding for independent schools. And the pro-life group Right Now is out with some rankings in leadership races for the Saskatchewan Party and the BC Liberal Party.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
This is the first program since before Christmas, and there's been a major development in a federal policy on student employment funding. Just before they went home for their Christmas break, MPs were briefed on changes to the rules for the Canada Summer Jobs Program for 2018. The biggest change is that any organization looking for government subsidies to hire students this summer will need to sign on to an attestation which says, and I'm quoting, both the job and the organization's core mandate will respect individual human rights in Canada, including the values underlying the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, as well as other rights. These include reproductive rights, and the right to be free from discrimination on the basis of sex, religion, race, national or ethnic origin, color, mental or physical disability, sexual orientation, or gender identity or expression. This policy change came after three pro-life groups won a major out-of-court settlement in late November over what happened to last year's summer jobs program. One of those groups was the Canadian Centre for Bioethical Reform, which was initially approved for funding last year and then had that approval revoked. The group's Jonathan Van Maren says it was a clear case of the government changing the rules in the middle of the game in response to pressure from some abortion rights advocates.
We were pretty sure that they denied us this funding based on our belief as a pro-life organization rather than any existing criteria, which turned out to be the case. The lawyer from the Justice Department contacted us and confirmed that the reason the government was settling with us is that we had already been approved to get funding for some students, and after the abortion activists launched their campaign, the government interfered in that process and had us denied our grant funding based on criteria that were not in place when we initially applied.
One of the other groups that was on the winning side in that out-of-court settlement was the Toronto Right to Life Association. That group's Blaise Aline says they're headed back to court to challenge the new rules.
It's not illegal to hold a different belief than the government on a social issue, and we don't think that the government has the jurisdiction to compel speech that would violate our conscience rights and our freedom of religion in order to treat us unequally and discriminate against us and punish us by withholding benefits of an unrelated program. So we have filed a claim in federal court asking in judicial review that this attestation be declared unconstitutional.
The bottom line, Aline says, is that the government is making up a so-called right to abortion while ignoring other rights that are clearly in the charter.
Reproductive rights are not necessarily charter rights. Like, that's a bit of a myth, right? The Morgenthaler decision struck down Canada's abortion law on procedural grounds, but it encouraged Parliament to legislate, and it never said that there's a right under the charter to abortion or something like that. Whereas we do have a right to freedom of conscience and religion and to freedom of expression, which includes a right against the government compelling speech and a right to be treated equally. So I think there are a whole host of charter rights that the government doesn't seem to be paying the appropriate attention towards in this attestation. I don't think there's a question of a careful balancing act here at all. I'm not really sure what else can be balanced. The government is asking us to do something that we just don't think they have the jurisdiction to ask.
We'll have more on this story on the feature later in the program. In other news, CARTIS released a survey over the Christmas break on the level of public support for increased government funding for separate and independent schools. The survey was done with Angus Reid as part of CARTIS's overall survey on the place of religion in Canada during our 150th birthday year. Dr. Beth Green oversees education policy at Cardiff, and she says the survey results showed 61% of respondents across the country in favor of partial or even full government funding for private religious schools. She says independent school supporters can take heart from those results.
We need to keep talking about this figure. Parents who are setting up schools or continuing support for schools can use these kinds of figures in the conversations that they're having. I also think that it's important to be realistic about what polling can do. So we took the temperature at one point in time, and I would actually love more data. There's lots more work that we can do, and the good news is that Cardiff's education programme this year is targeting those policy issues and is targeting those questions at a provincial level. So you will see lots more data coming out from us.
Green wrote an op-ed about the funding issue in the National Post. We link to that piece from the Lighthouse News homepage this week. And finally, the pro-life group Right Now is out with some suggested ranked ballots for political party leadership races in Saskatchewan and BC. Saskatchewan party members will be voting on the 27th of this month on a replacement for party leader Brad Wall. In BC, members of the provincial Liberal Party will vote next month on a replacement for Christy Clark, the former premier. Right Now surveyed the contenders in both races. In Saskatchewan, they ranked Ken Sheveldayoff as the candidate most in line with pro-life views. In BC, their pick was Michael Lee. But Lee actually appeared to back away from some of the pro-life positions that he articulated in his answer to a survey from the Right Now group. The organization's Scott Hayward says even at that, it is important to keep perspective.
Yes, it is disappointing that the Michael Lee campaign did backtrack a little bit on some things he initially said in the interview, but he did not backtrack on late-term abortion, he did not backtrack on sex-selective abortion, and he didn't backtrack on abortion statistics to publish those to the public. And so I think pro-lifers need to take these victories, as small as they may be, and keep moving them forward. We also have to recognize that participating in the political process, we aren't going to win all the time on our issues, but if we're winning more than we're losing, then we're still going in a forward direction.
We link to the organization's ranked ballots in both of those races from the Lighthouse News homepage this week. Back with more after this.
ARPA's God and Government event in Ottawa is approaching once again, this year on April 18th to 20th. This signature three-day event provides Reformed Christians with the opportunity to meet with parliamentarians and to train and strategize with other Christians. There are a limited number of spots, so be sure to apply early. The early bird application deadline is end of day, February 5th. Final application date is March 17th. For more information and to register, go to arpacanada.ca/GG18.
And we're back on the program. As you heard in the news portion, considerable controversy over that attestation that the Employment Ministry is asking employers to sign on to if they're applying for Canada's summer student job funding. You've heard a fair bit about this already, but we thought we'd talk a little bit about the in-depth legal aspects of all of this. Tabitha Ewart is a legal articling student with ARPA, with We Need a Law, at the Ottawa office. Tabitha, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So the Canada Summer Jobs Program, right around Christmas time, they came out with a new criteria for the application, and we covered this on the news portion a little bit. There's some history here. Last year, there were three pro-life groups that were denied funding. They went to court. They got an out-of-court settlement. They got their funding in November. Now, the government has put together a more clear list of policy criteria in terms of who can apply for the funding, and that's going to court. Talk to me a little bit about the history and sort of the legal perspective on this.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you say it's a more clear requirement, because I think that's what they intended it to be. But in fact, it's actually a very vague requirement. Just want to read the actual requirement here for the listeners. It says both the job and the organization that are applying, their core mandate must respect individual human rights in Canada, including the values underlying the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, as well as other rights. Now, that statement may sound good, but it doesn't mean a lot legally. The individual human rights, there's no standard that they're suggesting there, unless they're suggesting that's the charter. And then they have this nebulous sort of as well as other rights at the end, which how can a business know whether they respect this other rights that they don't even define what they are? So it's a very vague requirement it's rather nonsensical. They go on to explain that it includes what they call reproductive rights, and their explanation says that includes access to abortion. That also brings up the question, how is a business supposed to respect these rights, especially if the business has nothing to do with abortion? If you are, you know, doing tours in the Rockies, how do you respect reproductive rights? If you're working in a research field, how does this affect the business? And they don't really explain how a business is even supposed to respect these rights. And then, of course, the next problem is the charter includes a lot more than the elements listed, such as freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of association. These are freedoms that are really built into the charter. They're not just values underlying the charter. And yet this policy doesn't allow any room for that, any room for disagreement on the issue of abortion. So it's very concerning.
There's a lack of balance here. John Iveson, I'm sure you read the piece in the National Post. John Iveson talks about the notion, I'm going to quote here, that Trudeau is turning the charter into a constitutional buffet. And in direct contradiction to his explanation of the payout to Omar Khadr, there's no picking and choosing, he said at the time, except it seems, and this is Iveson again, when it's politically expedient to do so. I mean, yes, there's a Supreme Court ruling that says abortion is legal in Canada. It's not necessarily a charter right. The court ruled there has to be equal access to whatever the rules are. And yet there's also a charter right to freedom of religion and freedom of association and those kinds of things. And we're into that sort of tension between the competing rights piece, and that's not being acknowledged in this policy. Is that kind of the basis, you think, for perhaps a successful court challenge on this thing?
Well, it is very interesting because this mandate says that you have to respect the charter. One of the interesting things about the charter is that the charter only applies to the government. An individual business doesn't have to respect the charter. They have to be in compliance with human rights codes, but it's the government, right, who's not supposed to entrench on other people's freedoms and other people's rights. And what they're doing here is they're saying what we are subject to as the government, we are subject to the charter. Now we're saying you also have to be subject to it. It's actually interesting because it doesn't just say you have to comply with the charter. It says you have to respect the charter. I actually find that very concerning because in Canada, we expect people to obey the law, but we don't need people to respect it. I mean, imagine, you know, next time you were to get your driver's license and you had to sign something, not only that you would obey the speed limits, but that you would respect the speed limits. It's an absurd requirement that goes well beyond what the government can do here. So I do think that the vagueness and the requirement of respecting and compelling sort of this affirmation of the law is an infringement of the freedom of expression that we have under the charter.
And yet, the flip side to this, and I think we do need to address it, the flip side to this is there's not a constitutional right for any organization to get government funding to run its operations and to subsidize student wages in the summertime. I mean, that's not what's being argued here, is it?
That's going to be an interesting one. I'm looking forward to hearing what the pro-life group argues in that setting. One of the things that you do have a right to is equal treatment by the government. I would imagine that's the route they would go. So it's not so much that you have a right to the money, but you have a right not to be discriminated against in sort of the application process. When you have an application process that singles out one particular belief and says, we don't want that, that's not an equal treatment under the law.
So at the end of the day, do you see, I mean, this lawsuit is going to be interesting to watch. I hesitate to ask for a prediction, but at the end of the day, do you think this is going to go somewhere? I mean, they've won once, but that was based on the fact that there was no policy in place, no clarity. It was kind of an ad hoc decision the government made. Can they win this one?
Yeah, I'm always hesitant to predict what the courts will do. A legal challenge takes a long time. A lot can happen in the meantime. I'm actually really hoping it becomes a moot case. I'm hoping that the government reverses this policy. I'm hoping that we can apply pressure, email your MP, the media feedback on this. I'm hoping the government realizes that it's a bad policy so we don't even have to figure out what's going to happen with this legal case.
The deadline for applications for the funding, as I recall, is sometime in early February. That's not a lot of time to get this turned around. Do we have like an easy mail campaign and things going already at ARPA?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to ARPA Canada and you should be able to send an easy mail letter to your MP.
All right, we'll put a link up to that easy mail from the Lighthouse News homepage. Tabitha, we're out of time. Thanks very much for joining us.
All right, thanks, Al.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.